All right, good evening. Good to see you guys here this evening for our new study. I know you guys are as excited about this study as I am, and maybe everybody else is. We're going to start a new study on God's design for men and women. And you would think that this wouldn't be needed. You would think that this would be too simple. Everybody would know it. We wouldn't need to describe what a man is and what a woman is. But we're living in a different age and a different time where this is very, very necessary. And I will say this too, it's very, very, I might even add an extra one, a very controversial subject. It's a hot topic. But we don't worry about offending other people, we worry about the truth. I said that Sunday morning. We're going to speak the truth to these issues and we need it. I think Christians need to know these things. We need to know how to defend these things. I'm trying to teach our church and our children how to think critically and biblically about the issues of our day. So this is what this is about. I don't want you to be able to give an answer of God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. That's true, but it's not enough. We need to be able to think about these things, teach what the Bible says. So I want us to do that. I want to know what the Bible says and for us to be able to think through these issues in a biblical way. So we're going to do that. We're going to start tonight at the very foundation, at the very basis of it all. The title of the sermon is simple. Male and female, he created he them, or he created them. And we're going to be in Genesis chapter 1. I'm just going to read three verses, probably just study three verses. It's the foundation of it all. Here's how God created and designed it. So we want to see that God created it, designed it, in male and female. So I'm going to read these verses and then we'll pray. Again, very simple, very easy. This is not hard. God has given us an answer in His Word to these issues, and we want to know that answer. God is straightforward, very clear. Verse 26, this will be the sixth day of creation. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Here's the title of the sermon, "Male and female created He them." And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." We'll stop there. We're going to look at these three verses and look at male and female. He created them. It is a beautiful design of God in how He created male and female. So let's pray together and we'll study this. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We trust in Your Word. We love Your Word. I'm not just going to say this is the truth and this is how it is. That's true. But what I want to say tonight is this is Your Word. This is true. And I love it. It is beautiful. It is wonderful. And I love every single word of it. I love Your design. And God, we love You, the Creator. We love what You've created. So God, help us to see that. Help us to have clarity on that. Help us to be able to defend this. As the world is saying something, the complete opposite of what this says, we as Christians need to be able to think clearly. We need to be able to think critically. And we need to be able to think, most importantly, biblically. So teach us these things tonight. And we ask and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, there was a question heard around the world. I think everybody in here knows what question I'm talking about. As there was a confirmation hearing for the new Supreme Court justice, and one of the Republican senators asked her a question. And this is a question that everybody here knows was asked, and it went something like this. I don't have the exact wording of it, but it said, "Can you," this is a Supreme Court justice, getting ready to take a lifelong term as one of the most important positions in all of our government. She asked, "Can you provide us a definition of a woman?" That's not a hard question. I mean, I think my little Emma could even tell you what a woman is. And this Supreme Court justice, who will probably be confirmed at sometime soon, they answered, "I don't know. I'm not a biologist." That was the answer. So we had the question heard around the world, and we had the answer that everybody just kind of, I think it was kind of a surprise moment. Is this where we have gotten as a nation? And you thought, how in the world can she not answer such a simple question? And it wasn't just a day or so later that the scientists began to agree with her. I don't know if you guys saw the follow-up, that they put out an article. This is scientists came out, professors from UCLA and from Harvard, and said, in defense of this woman, there's no simple answer to that question. There's not one single biological answer to the definition of what is a woman. That's science coming out and defending what she said. And this isn't the only place that we see it. There was a male swimmer that won the national championship against women last week. The USA Today named a man the woman of the year. A law is now being argued that would make it you have to ask men if they are pregnant before they can take an x-ray. There was a poll done this week of 200,000 people in America, and 60% of those people said that men could get pregnant. This is where we are as a nation today. And I think this shows us that our world has become overwhelmingly confused on easy matters, on easy questions, on questions that our toddlers can answer. And it shows us that we are under, as a nation, the judgment of God. We have rejected God as the Creator, and in rejecting Him as the Creator, Romans 1 says we will be given over to what the Bible calls a depraved mind. That we will be so confused that we won't know up from down and right from left. We won't know men from women anymore. We have been given over to a depraved mind. 2 Thessalonians says that we will be given a strong delusion. That's what's going on. How can you explain that we can't answer what a male and a female is other than the judgment of God and a depraved mind? So I hate to do this, but we have to find the answer. We have to go back to the Bible. We don't go to science and say, what does science say? We don't go to institutions or culture or politicians or Hollywood. They are clueless on this matter. We open up the Bible and we ask, what does the Bible say about men and about women? And I want you to know, I'm not preaching this series because of last week. It takes me longer to put these things together. I've been putting this series together, and you can ask Brandon, for 6 months. It's just the providence of God that we have now landed exactly where we need to be. That I am answering the question that everybody seems to be asking right now. So we're going to open the Bible. We're going to turn to, I find this fascinating. The answer to this question is found on page 1 of your Bible. Yeah. On the opening page. So we're going to go to the Bible. We see here, and I'm jumping into day 5 or day 6. I don't want to jump in, go back to and look at all 5 days ahead of it. But verses 1 through 25, God has already made the world and everything in it. And God did it in 5 days. He said it, and it was done. I draw a line there. God said it, it was done, and He did it in 5 literal days. God created. It's His creative work, and He looked over all of creation that He made, the world that He put into orbit, and He said it was very good. Almost as if He's smiling on it, saying, I designed it, it's brilliant, it's wonderful, I love what I've created. We live in a beautifully, divinely designed world that God has given us. Amen. And so His smile was on it. I think God looked at the trees and smiled. Those are wonderful. I think He looked at the fish in the sea and said, wow. Those are wonderful. The animals in the forest and said, that's beautiful. The mountains and said, oh, that it couldn't be any better than that. It's all good. And then He turned to day 6. And He made man and woman. And just like everything else, it was absolutely stunning. It was divinely designed. And it was beautiful. And when God created man and woman, He looked at it just like He would look at the trees and the fish and the animals and the mountains and the beaches. And He said, that is good. That is beautiful. That is wonderful. I couldn't have made it any better. Right. What God did wonderfully. Amen. And He made man and woman. With smiles on His face, He looked down at the male and the female and said, it's good. He looked down on their bodies and said, it is good. He looked down on their identities and said, it is good. He looked down on the roles that He had given them and said, it is good. God isn't confused about these things. We are. Amen. So God has given us something very clear on this. And we need to be just as clear as God is. So let's look at male and female. He created them. 3 verses, 3 points. I want to show you first the beautiful image. The beautiful image. It says in verse 26, and God said, and verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. That is I want to slow down there. Just breathe for a second. It's almost one of those Psalms Selah moments where God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. That is a radical statement. That we've heard a lot, but we don't take enough time to say, what is He saying here? When He says, and this is different than day 1 through 5. He comes to day 6 and he's got a new wording that He's going to use. In day 1 through 5, He said, let it be done, and it was done. And in day 6, He says, let us. Which is the very first hint at the Trinity. at the Godhead. We will go through the Bible and you can read book by book, chapter by chapter, and we're going to get a better picture of the Trinity and the Godhead in its fullness. But here's the first hint at it, that we have one God in three persons. So he says, and let us make man in our image. It's a personal statement. He didn't say, let there be. He said, let us. And then he says, and in our image, which is an amazing statement. God has already created everything else, the heavenly bodies, the earth, the birds, the beasts. And now all of a sudden, this is different. This isn't like day 1 through 5. This day stands out. This part of creation stands out above all the others. Day 1 through 5 is building to day 6 when he's going to get to the high point of his creation. The climactic end of his creation. When he gets to man, he's building to this. This is unlike all the other things he's created. He's going to personally create man and woman. This is God's last creative stroke. This is God's masterpiece. Amen. This is mankind not the result of evolution. This is mankind not the result of some genetic accident. This is mankind fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. God makes no mistakes. God doesn't give wrong bodies. God doesn't say, oops. God does everything perfectly and wonderfully. So God makes man, what does it say? In his image, in our image. He says in verse 26, in our image. He says in verse 27, read that with me. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he them. Male and female he created. There's three times in two verses he says male and female are created in the image of God. All the rest are beautiful. No offense to the lions, no offense to the sea otters, no offense to the penguins. But mankind is the only thing that was created in the image of God. An image here is something that is carved. It's a statue that you would take a block of material and form it into something else. You would think of someone taking just a blob. And it says that God took dust out of the ground and began to form man. And he formed man in his own image. God is molding man into his own likeness. He didn't say that of anything else. We are not the animals. God created us specifically, specially in his image. Amen. The image means that it's not that we are identical to God. It means we are created, and I'm going to get this. You have to understand this. We were created to have relationships like God does. We relate to one another. I'll say this. We were created to have a relationship with God Almighty. Like an inter-Trinitarian relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who had a relationship throughout all eternity, we are now created with the capacity to relate to our God. And we are created with the capacity to relate to one another. Unlike the rest of creation, we have a relationship with God and a relationship with one another. And also, we are created with a rationale like God. In that we have an intellectual capacity. We can think critically, which I don't think many people use today. We can think logically. We can think creatively. We have language. We have memory. God is a genius God. He is a brilliant God. And he gave us a mind to think unlike all other creation. We are created for a relationship and with a rational thinking. So mankind was created in a special way. We are the pinnacle of creation. And that's not only Adam. That is every single person who has ever been born. Amen. That is every boy and every girl. Every man and every woman. This is, again, not a genetic accident. This is a divine creation. Every single person who has ever been born is not a genetic accident. It is a divine creation that God has formed in his own image. That is everybody in here. You need to know that. Everybody needs to know that. We didn't come from apes. We came from God. Amen. The word is Imago Dei, in the image of God. Yes, the image has been greatly tarnished in the fall. where that relationship with God is broken, and the relationship with one another is constant fighting and division and war, and it takes a Savior and redemption to bring that relationship back and to unite those who are at war with one another. The fall has radically affected our thinking, where we can't think like we should. You see that now? We don't know what a man and a woman is anymore. That comes from the fall. But we are all created in the image of God. That makes murder a terrible sin. That makes abortion atrocious. That child from conception is created in the very image of God. And when they abort it, they are destroying a creation of God. Amen. That makes prejudice a terrible sin. Amen. That you would hate anyone for how God made them. Amen. So number one, this is the beautiful image that we were created. In the image of God. And a part of this brilliant design is variety. So I'm going to show you point number two, the beautiful identities that he gives. And notice this. It says in verse 27, so God created man in his own image. We've discussed that. In the image of God created he him. And so it says God created. There are three times. Look at it. God created. In the image of God created. Male and female, he created. I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but God done the creating. It has nothing to do with evolution at all. That is a lie from Satan himself. God did this. God designed it. And how did he design it? Male and female. Two identities. Two sexes. How many? The world would say it's numerous. God says two. Amen. Male and female. There's one human race and two sexes. Two sexes are a part of God's grand and beautiful design. There are only two very distinct sexes. God did it on purpose. God meant it. It was with divine intent. God didn't mess up when he made two sexes. I don't even say gender. I say sex. Gender is a new term. Two very, very. You don't have to be married too long to figure out you're very different. Both made in the image of God, but both very different. You say, how are they different? He made male and female. It says right there. He created him male and female. So with the male, it says in verse 7 of chapter 2, you see that. It's on the same page in my Bible. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust to the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I like that. God took, as if it was dust on the ground. He is a potter and we are the clay. And he took the dust of the ground, and God began to form a man. And he formed that body. And he shaped that body exactly to the specifications that he wanted. He gave that man, and I have pictures in my mind, and I Googled some things this week of what Adam may have looked like. But I can imagine a man. He created this man with broad shoulders and a tough jaw. And he created him in all of his form, in all of his figure, like a man is supposed to look. From the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, God formed and God shaped a man. And then he breathed life into him. And then in verse 21 of chapter 2, he created woman. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. Took one of his ribs. I've said this before. This is the first surgery. Took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made woman. So now he's forming a woman. God is a potter, and we are the clay. And he begins to shape and to form and to make a woman. Again, one humankind, two very distinct sexes. Made Adam to look one way, and he's going to form and make Eve to look different than Adam. She's going to have a different body. He formed her, breathed life into her, and now she's alive. And God has formed and God has shaped two sexes, a man and a woman. And they are, if you look at them, Don't you love those old pictures of them? And then they got the leaves cover them, and they're eating in the garden. And every single one of us, in looking at those pictures, can tell the difference between which one's Adam and which one's Eve. It's not hard. God made Adam and Eve to look different physically. That's just on the outside. If you look at them, they're very different. Their frame is different. Their structure is different. Their form is different. Just looking on the outside only, you can tell the difference between Adam that God formed with his own hands and Eve that he formed with his own hands. Amen. They're different. It's absolutely incredible how different a man and a woman is. Only an infinitely wise, brilliant master creator could make man like he made man and woman like he made woman. I'm designed to be the way that I am by God. Amen. The face that I have, the gray hair that I'm getting, the shoulders, the chest, the arms, the legs, the feet, all of my manly physical form was designed by God. That's the outside. That's how God designed it. That's the way. He's the designer. He's the architect. God's the one who made man to be man. I'll tell you this, we drove through Charlotte this on Monday, and my kids had never seen Charlotte before. They'd never seen a city before, and we saw the skyline as we was coming in, and there was big, tall buildings, and there was banks, and one of the kids looked at me and said, "Dad, why does a bank need to be that big? How much money's in that place?" But it was formed and it was made by an architect. And nobody could come along and say, "I think that's something else than what it is." The architect gets to decide that. God's the architect of man, and God's the architect of woman. They're physically different. They're biologically different. Steph said, "How in depth are you going to get with that one?" I'm just going to say, men and women are programmed differently. Every guy in here knows that. The outside, they're very different. And on the inside, they are very different. We are very different biologically. Scientists can say whatever they want to say today just to agree with an agenda they want to agree with. But biologically, men and women are very different. Amen. I think they're mentally different. I know, I don't say think. I know he made us to think different. To feel different. To react differently to things. He made us different. Men and women are designed to be very different. And God made them permanent. We'll say that again.
Amen.
I don't know if y'all are listening, because that's not popular. That may get me kicked off. God made them permanent. There's a lot of confusion over this today, but God made a male to be a male and a female to be a female, and that is fixed and that is permanent. And there is no changing it. Surgery doesn't change it. Clothes can't change it. Athlete or your actions can't change it. Your pronouns can't change it. Your name can't change it. There's no way you can change. If you were born a male, you'll always be a male. If you was born a female, you'll always be a female. And you'll be a male in eternity, and you'll be a female in eternity. There's no changing it. Feelings and preferences can change, but your sex can never change. Any attempt to change your sex is rebellion against the Creator and comes from a reprobate mind.
Amen.
That's not popular.
Yeah.
A male will always be a male. A female will always be a female for life and eternity. God makes no mistakes. He doesn't give you one mind and a different body. He makes you male and female. That's what you should post today. God makes no mistakes. And last, I don't know what time it is. I'm just going to keep going. The beautiful instruction that he gives. We've seen the image. We've seen the identity. There's a male and a female. Now I want to show you the instruction that he gives. And this is my favorite part. Because now it says in verse 28, "And God blessed him." God looked down on him. You see that? God loved it. God's smiling at this. He sees a male and he sees a female, and he says, "That's a good thing. I've made a good thing." And then he gives them instructions. You see that? And God blessed them. And then he said unto them, and he gives them a to-do list. He gives them work to do. He gives them roles to fulfill. Now, I think here, I'm going to stop here just for a second. I've got like 8 minutes. I think we are good in the church with the image and the identity. You'll amen me on that one. Or you'll look at me and wait for me to look at you back, and then you'll amen me. You get that. I think in the church, we get the image and we get the identity. We got that down. But I think we struggle in the church and in homes with this instruction. These are the roles that he gives men and women. We've got to get both of those right. Not just the image and the identity. We've got to get the instructions right. Because not only did he make men and women differently, he gave them different roles. He gave them exact bodies to fulfill exact roles. Gifts to use to serve. So he gives responsibilities here. And I found two. And you guys can write these down on your notes. Two things he's told us to do. Or two things he told Adam and Eve to do. Watch this. And God blessed them, and God said, and I love the way I've worded this. This comes straight from me. I didn't take this from anybody else. Well, this is so good. Two things he told us to do. Be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, and then subdue it. Have dominion over the fish, over the fowl, over every living thing that moves. You say, what is that? Number one, he says to fill the earth. Number two, he says rule the earth. Fill the earth. He's got Adam and Eve there. Adam, I made you. Eve, I made you. Now, your job, your responsibility, your to-do is you're to go out and fill the earth and rule the earth. That's what you're told to do. Fill the earth means to procreate. That's life-making, life-giving. You multiply. You have, he looked at him and said, I want you to fill the earth. Have lots and lots and lots of kids. I've done my job. I marked off that on the to-do list. Have kids. That's what he's saying there. Fill the world with the image of God. Fill the world with the imago Dei. And then he says to rule the earth. I don't want you to be lazy. I don't want you laying around. I don't want you in a hammock somewhere, sitting there eating fruit. I want you busy. So subdue it. Have dominion over it. Take care of it. Get to work. Accomplish something. You've got a garden to take care of and animals to tend to. You need to be farmers. That's what he says. Subdue it. Have dominion over the fish, over the sea, over the fowl, the air, over every living thing. There's work to be done. And get this. Adam couldn't do either one of those things by himself. It says in verse 18 of chapter 2, you guys are going to be here about 5 minutes longer. It says in verse 18. And the Lord God said, I mean, Adam's trying to do it by himself. The woman hadn't been created yet. Watch this. And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. He can't do this by himself. How in the world can a man replenish the earth by himself? He can't. Could a woman do it by herself? No way. I don't care what science says. I think even Bill Nye, the fake science guy, would agree that a man can't replenish the earth by himself. Put it in a science lab, a man can't do it. In Jurassic Park, one of Isaiah's favorite movies, we sit and watch it, and they put only female dinosaurs in the park. No way they can recreate, they can't have any more. They can't procreate. One of the scientists says, life will find a way. Life's not going to find a way. God gave us a way, and it takes a man and a woman. A man cannot procreate and fill the earth by himself. It's impossible. Amen. He has to have a helpmate. He can't subdue the earth. He can't go out riding on a triceratops, ruling the world. He needs somebody. He can't do it alone. She can't do it alone. Adam needs some help. I think God looked down at me when he's creating me and said, that boy is going to need some help. I'll give him Stephanie. He'll drive her nuts. And if Steph's out here, she'd say, amen. He needs help. Look what it says in verse 18. He needs help. Look at that verse 19. So out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air. He's trying to do what he's told to do. He's trying to name them. He's trying to control them. And then they're going through and he's saying elephant, giraffe, rhino. And he's having a hard time. He needs help. He's gathering things and not knowing what to do with it. He needs some help. So God made woman out of man. And God brought woman to man. And that's it. And he brought her to man, verse 22. And Adam said, and I know he said this with a big old smile on his face. He's excited. This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. She's been taken out of man. He couldn't do it without her. She couldn't do it without him. So God gives man woman that is fit for him. He needed someone unique with unique strengths and abilities that are well suited for them to do the work that God has told them to do. Hang on. So it takes two to fill the earth. You know that. I said that. Bill Nye knows that it takes two. You ask that judge, how many does it take to fill the earth? To have kids? A man and a woman. A man and a man can't do it. A woman and a woman can't do it. You can only procreate with a man and a woman. Children won't exist without a male and a female. And he made female body. Steph told me not to go any further than this. And male body to fit exactly like a puzzle so they could procreate and have kids. Beautiful design. So it takes two to fill the earth. It takes two to rule the earth. Men have certain strengths that they use to subdue the earth. Men, get this, I didn't realize this, have 1,000% more testosterone in their body than women do. Put there by God. Men lift more. Men run faster. Men fight better. Men run longer. Men gather better. Men hunt better. Men take dominion better. Men are more competitive. They're more powerful. They're more aggressive. God has given us a job and he's given us a body to perform that job. We hunt. We gather. We bring it home. And the woman has a body fit for the home. That's not popular. Old Josh is going to get himself in a lot of trouble tonight. Do you realize that women have certain strengths that men don't have? Women's bodies are made to nourish a child. Women's bodies are made to even hold a child. You should see me try to hold a baby. I've had five, and every time I get one, it's like, it just doesn't fit. And the first time Steph held Gracie, it's like she was made to hold that baby. God did that. Everything God made about woman is to do the things he's prepared for her to do. Amen. Just to say this, God knows exactly what he's doing. A man to fulfill his role and a woman to fulfill her role. And we'll get more into this in the series. But God has given us all unique gifts to use to do exactly what he's called us to do. We find our value in fulfilling those roles and using those gifts. It takes two. I think that's brilliant of God. Men and women are not made to compete with one another. Amen. Do you see that? I hope you see that. It's like we're, there's always a competition right now where women's trying to climb ahead of man. And man, even today, man's like, okay, I'll let her win. Where's the competitive drive? I'm always fighting against the Google Maps on my phone. It said I was going to get to Charlotte at 4:30. I said, I'm getting there at 4:29. There's a competitiveness in men. We're not made to compete with women. Women's not made to compete with men. We cooperate with one another. Amen. I'll say it this way. We complement one another perfectly. There's nothing more beautiful than a man and a woman living together according to God's beautiful design. Amen. Nothing, nothing more beautiful than that. And when that happens, marriages flourish, children aren't corrupted and abandoned, churches thrive, society is influenced, But when that's not, when God's beautiful design is wadded up and cast to the side like it doesn't matter, marriages crumble. Children are corrupted and abandoned. Churches die. And society becomes a judge that can't answer, what is a woman? That's how it was designed. That's how it was meant to be. But Genesis 3 took place and ruined God's beautiful design. Adam didn't protect Eve. He didn't have domain over the beast. That's what Adam should have done. You know that a man in the house, his job is to kill the snakes. It's one of the worst parts of my job. I've told you that before. When I was at home, Dad killed the snakes. Now I got my own home with my own kids. I'm a snake killer. I hate every second of it. I'm trying to give it to Isaiah. The men kill the snakes. I mean, and Adam should have protected Eve from the he was supposed to have the domain over that animal. And he didn't. And Eve didn't follow, and it's all become broken instead of beautiful now. So for now, I don't have to read it to you, but I'm done. Eve now will fight against man, or woman will rebel against her submission. Woman will have pain in childbirth. Man will have to work hard to struggle to subdue the earth. And we'll ultimately reach a point where the world is so confused they don't know what a man and a woman is because of Genesis 3. So we always, and I'm closing, come back to Genesis 1 and 2. How should we be? Let's go back to the way God designed it to be. Let's let our homes be that way. Let's let our churches be that way. Let's make our society that way. Let's see God's beautiful design here. We'll love it. We'll live it out the way God intended. And when we do that, I'm closing with this. When we love God's design and we live God's design, we will have beautiful lives, and God will look down with a smile on us like He did them. But when we don't, God looks down with an angry face and not a smile. And what do you think? How do you think God's looking at America today? That we've taken God's beautiful design and we've broken it and shattered it and turned it into nothing. And God looks down angry. In my home, I want God's smile. In our church, we want God's smile. So we'll do our best through this series to know how we can live according to God's beautiful design. Next week we'll look at men. The next week we'll look at women. We're going to take it one by one and work our way through God's design so that we can fulfill it, that we can live it and love it and have God's smile on our lives. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for making it very clear, very simple. Couldn't be any more straightforward than what it is. And I pray I've done it with the right tone. There is a little bit of, and God, You know this, I've tried to pray about this all week. There is a little bit of anger in me over the way things are going. I pray that it's a righteous anger. I pray that it's anger that You have looking down at how corrupt and confused our society's become. I only want to be angry at what You're angry at. So if I preached a little angry tonight over these things, I pray that it come off in the right way. That it would be a righteous anger. And God, I pray that You'd help us. I can't control what those judges do in Washington. I can't control what Hollywood does. I can't control what the institutions do. I can't control what Disney's doing. But God, I control what my home does. And I can do my best to teach our church what we ought to do. So God, help me to do that and help us to live and to love Your beautiful design. All we want, Your smile. So please, God, help us tonight, help us through the rest of this series. And we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.